In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
We kick off hour two of the Chuck Oliver Show right now, dealing out your college football conversation hither and yon all throughout the south part of the country. Jackson, Mississippi on board. Trenton, Georgia on board as well. New affiliates coming all the time, including one that we're starting about 2 weeks from now that I'm really excited about. But I think the number is 47 stations right now. That's where you can hear us throughout the south. So, again, 2 hours of college football talk. From Mobile to Lexington, Ocala to Pascagoula, everywhere in between. I certainly appreciate everybody making this your stop for a couple hours each day to talk about a little CFB. Coming up in about 10 minutes, good friend of mine, Jason Caldwell, does a great job, has for about 20 years covering Auburn. Going to talk Tigers as they are now into spring practice. And then also Matt Moscona, bottom of the hour, talking LSU with Ed Orgeron's contract extension on the board for tomorrow with the LSU Board of Trustees, as well as spring practice going on in Baton Rouge as well. So all of that coming up right now. Let me get you up to date.
Everything you need to know about college football every single day. This is CFB 365.
Headline, what I already told you about. Started the show, as a matter of fact. LSU to approve Orgeron contract extension. There is also a raise involved. He has been head coach for two full seasons and most of the 16 season, and they've gotten a little better each year. Last year, I was thinking 7 wins would probably be where they fall. God bless Ed Orgeron. He made sure that LSU was not a 7-win program, and they're not supposed to be, not talent-wise, not production-wise. So coming off that season, there is a report, according to the Baton Rouge Advocate, he is set to officially receive a 2-year extension onto his current contract, as well as a $500,000 raise to $4 million. He's making $3.5 million, now he's making $4 million. Head coach at LSU, winning 10 games, not divisions or conferences or national titles, which is where the bar is set there, but winning 10 games and you're, quote, only making $4 million. If you take out the personality, the individual that is Ed Orgeron, you go, oh my gosh, what a steal. Well, put Ed Orgeron back in there, and everybody, fair or not, you lean back and go, really? They gave that guy a 2-year extension? We all have this built-in mistrust about Ed Orgeron and how it's going to turn out. He needs to beat Bama at some point, so does everybody else, beating Florida on a regular basis. That'd be kind of groovy as well. So that's what he is charged with going forward. But again, he gets a little bit of a raise from 3.5 to 4. He has an additional $400,000 that he can earn through team incentives, number of games, double digits, winning the West, the conference, etc. And then also his buyout price tag increases immediately to $10 million. It goes down $250,000 each month. Until 2 years from today, it'll be down to $4 million, and that's where it will stay through the life of the contract. So Ed Orgeron getting broke off, as the kids say. Headline, former 5-star Auburn lineman transferring to Florida Atlantic. That'd be Calvin Ashley, and by all accounts, really good kid. Just, I don't know if he can play. And I started asking that question last year during August camp, when all 5 spots were pretty much open. And a former 5-star lineman, one of the top 5 offensive line recruits in America just a couple of years before, who even got the benefit of a redshirt year. I was like, he can't crack this lineup? Because I kept getting practice reports, and I would see him working with the 2s. He got maybe his only career start. In fact, I'm going to bet it was against Mississippi State that awful Saturday night for Auburn, at least. For Mississippi State, is great. Awful Saturday night in Starkville. And as bad as the Auburn, somehow, the Auburn run defense was just wretched that night. The offensive line was even worse, and Calvin Ashley got his first start. Montez Sweat beat him like a rented mule. So he is going to transfer. I don't think he can play, but it was a swing and a miss. That's the 5-star lineman you got at Auburn, and he's going to leave with 1 start, and honestly, you'd have been better if the number was 0 based on how he played that night. Oh, that's cold. No, it's not cold. It's fair evaluation. Consider yourself up to date. We're going to take a break and go, when we come back, go talk to Jason Caldwell, a good friend of mine who covers Auburn and has for several years. But there is one more story I wanted to mention briefly. And I promise you that this isn't necessarily progress, or at least not the best progress. If you haven't seen the report today, It was a headline everywhere. I saw Associated Press earlier this morning. Sun Belt to make Gill first black commissioner. Now, that's not Johnny Gill. All right. That's not Turner Gill. Keith Gill. Keith Gill, who has previously served as athletic director at American University for 5 years. He was athletic director at Richmond for 5 years. He has been the executive associate commissioner of Atlantic 10 basketball since May of 2017. That's a really good basketball conference as well. So he has experience at the individual school level, at the conference level, at the highest reaches of that ladder as well. Actually played running back for Duke way back in the day. And when the Sun Belt commissioner announced that he was going to retire this coming August, conference set about looking for a new commish, and they found Keith Gill, who got hired on his resume, not a skin color. But that is the headline, because he is the first black commissioner in major college sports and Power Five or Group of Five. Now, that is a headline worth, that hadn't happened before, and so now we know. Real progress. I've always said this. Like the NBA and Major League Baseball, they've made real progress as far as hiring and firings. How do you know that? Their percentages are about the same as the NFL. And I don't know if that's true or not. I'm just giving you a common retort because those numbers change every single year. 17% one year, 14%, 19% the next year. It vacillates depending on fluctuates depending on who is hired and fired. But this is the sign of real progress, and you have that in the NBA and Major League Baseball, not the NFL, and it's for the same reason. You can fire a minority, and it's not a big deal. You can fire a minority and replace him with a white person, and it's not a cause for any sort of attention at all in the NBA and Major League Baseball. And the reason is because those two leagues started hiring black managers and head coaches and front office personnel decades, in some cases, before the NFL did. So it's not a big deal to see a black person coaching or managing in the NBA and Major League Baseball. In the NFL, it is. And so when you fire a black head coach, then we all look at the numbers, because the NFL has not made the kind of progress where it's just commonplace. It's just habit, where you look on the sidelines and you see something other than old white guy. So the real progress, and this is big. I didn't know we'd never had a black commissioner. The real progress is, and it sounds so weird, when you can fire him and it's not big news. When you can fire him and it doesn't 100% eliminate minority commissioners. See, that you have to do, this is great that it's the first one. Real progress is when you have done it so often that it's not news that you hired someone. It's that it's not news when you fire him or her. And so, obviously, in big-time athletics, this is a nice brick in the wall, but nowhere close to where they need to be. But I did want to mention that, because that's not nothing. All right, we're going to break. Come back. Talk with Jason Caldwell.
This is an important announcement. If you're between 50 and 85 and worried about your loved ones, you can still get affordable life insurance for peace of mind.
My life insurance coverage is guaranteed, and I was not required to get a medical exam.
I had high blood pressure and diabetes, and I got my coverage with one telephone call. No exam necessary.
I'm a smoker, and I wanted to take care of my family. I called to get my life insurance and my affairs in order. I wanted to do the right thing.
Call Final Expense No Exam Insurance. Insurance. Your rates are guaranteed and will never increase.
I called and learned that this insurance cannot be canceled, even if you get sick or gain weight.
And there are no restrictions on how my beneficiaries use the money when I'm gone.
Don't wait until it's too late. Call now and get peace of mind for you and your family. Call 800-446-3379. 800-446-3379. 800-446-3379. 800-446-3379.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 877-477-6061. 877-477-6061. 877-477-6061.
Hey, Russell Wilson here, and I know how important exercise is.
It's essential. It's essential.
With Play 60, United Way and the NFL are helping kids stay active and play at least 60 minutes a day.
Healthy kids, healthy kids.
But what this place needs is you. To donate or volunteer, go to unitedway.org/play60 because great things happen when we live united.
Donate, donate.
Are you guys going to do that every time?
Yes, of course. Yes, of course.
Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
My name is Dale Pazinski. I'm 19 years old, and this is how I live United. I've always been kind of a computer geek, and I found a way to use those skills to help the homeless in my community. For people facing hard times, computer skills and a basic resume are so important. It may seem like a small thing, but it makes a huge difference in people's lives. So with United Way, I created a program where I work with the homeless. Together, we go through their whole job history, write a resume, and then save it on their very own USB drive. We provide workbooks and training certificates. I even budgeted for cupcakes so we can celebrate as a class when one of our people gets a job. That's huge. When somebody says, "Hey man, that job that you helped me apply for, I got it." That's what living United feels like to me. My name is Dale Pazinski. I help people achieve financial independence. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is John Ondrasik of Five for Fighting, here for RAD, the entertainment industry's voice for road safety. You know, style is a personal thing, and your lifestyle is your business. But if you take it on the road, it becomes everybody's business. So please, plan ahead, designate before you celebrate. Friends, don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Now back to Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
All year, it is all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. 47 stations now throughout the south part of the country. Welcome to Jackson, Mississippi, ESPN Jackson. Also, Trenton, Georgia coming on board. And I told you, we got a new affiliate actually about a week and a half from now. I'll be getting it down in the state of Florida. So looking forward to number 48 then as well. Want to hop out to the phones right now. Man who's done a great job for about two decades covering Auburn for Inside the Auburn Tigers. It is Jason Caldwell. Jason, welcome back. How are you today?
I'm good, Chuck. How about you?
Doing all right. Who's going to be the quarterback week one?
One day in and helmets. I don't know. I'll tell you this. I think that Joey Gatewood, a little bit we saw him in the bowl game, the difference in the way he looks physically between last year as a freshman and now as a redshirt freshman this year, just based on seeing him one day. Now we'll see how he handles the offense, runs the offense, those kind of things. I think he's a guy that physically has all the skills to really challenge there. Obviously, Bo Nix, but, Malik Willis has the experience. I think it's going to be really interesting, but I would not be shocked. I think Joey Gatewood's a guy that's really going to make a push in the spring.
Jason, I don't think I'm overstating this. When Jarrett Stidham was in the game versus Malik Willis, for instance, Nick Marshall versus Jeremy Johnson for the most part, it's almost like it's two different offenses. So which offense, if it's Joey Gatewood, because I think there's one offense for Bo Nix and there'll be a different, at least play calls for Malik Willis. How does Joey Gatewood fit into that? Is it a middle ground or can he run every play in the book equally well?
I think he can run them, but I think obviously if it's Joey Gatewood, Cam Newton threw the football, but I think he did a lot more quarterback and quarterback power runs, things like that, than you have with anybody else in this offense. I think it could be more of that type of offense because he's a guy that's 6'4", 6'5", 230. He gives you some of that ability to line up and, grind third one, give you an extra blocker and run your quarterback. I think he gives you some of those options if it's him. So I think it's obviously different. I think receiver group, you're going to want to get to the football. But I think no matter who it is, one of the things you got to see is tempo back to that from Gus Malzahn and the run play action deep ball, kind of like we saw in the bowl game. That was more old school Gus Malzahn, a little bit more throwing than in the past, but same concept. And I think that's kind of no matter who it is, you got to lean on those two things in this system.
You know, Jason, I'm going to guess, I don't know, 15, 20 times. How many times have you seen Bo Nix, whether it's, you know, a camp, drills, Friday nights, playoffs, whatever? I'm guessing you've seen Bo Nix actually live game action 15, 20 times?
Yeah, I would say at a minimum. I've probably seen 10 games, probably three or four camps when watched him practice a couple of times. Yeah, so it's been – well over a dozen times I've seen him in person, yes.
So what do you think, how does he translate, again, to, quote, which offense that Gus Malzahn will call? I know that he's got good speed, but that's – I mean, Sean White had good straight-line speed. Tell me how you see him fitting into the offense if it is Bo Nix this year.
Yeah, he's a much better athlete than Sean White was in quickness, acceleration, those kind of things. He can run it and do some of those things. Obviously, I think the thing you look for him is because of the system he's played in with his dad, who's a, you know, obviously Patrick Nix is a really good quarterback, a quarterback coach, and an offensive coordinator on the collegiate level at some pretty good schools, Miami and Georgia Tech being two of them. He has grown up and done the RPOs really his entire life. So he's a guy that, from an RPO standpoint, can do some of those things and open up an offense that way. So I think you look at tempo, his ability to pull it and do some of those things. So I think probably closer to what we saw when Auburn's offense was really going good the end of that 2017 season against Georgia and Alabama with Jarrett Stidham using that RPO, him pulling the ball and running a little bit. Not going to see him rush for 150 yards, but a guy that can make you, you know, stay honest on defense, but use more of the passing game, probably a little bit more.
Wrapping up with Jason Caldwell from inside the Auburn Tigers. Quickly, on the offensive line, and I hate, you know, speaking critically of college kids because they're doing the best they can, for gosh sakes, they're not getting a paycheck. But Jack Driscoll, what can he be if he has the perfect offseason and, you know, weight room and all that other stuff? Because it was clearly a transition for him at times last year.
Yeah, I thought he really, by the end of the year, I thought he was playing pretty good football. And I think – really the thing that kind of got overlooked a little bit last year, we probably didn't really know till the end of the year how much, but all those guys were beat up pretty good at some point during the season, but they just didn't feel good about the guys behind them at that point. And so they just kind of kept playing through it. And we saw them when they were able to get a little bit of rest. And I thought the having J.B. Grimes back for a full year too, by the end of the year, saw those guys come together a little bit. I think Jack Driscoll is going to be a really good right tackle. I think he's a guy that has an opportunity to maybe play and move to the next level as he continues. And I thought this offseason was important for him. Now, instead of one SEC game or two SEC games, you realize the grind of eight a year. You got to get bigger and stronger and more physical. And I think that's what you look at now moving forward with him, is adding that physicality to be able to withstand that for, you know, four SEC games in a row, the grind that it is.
Tell me about the tackle spot opposite Derrick Brown. Is that Connus Miller? Is it Daquan Newkirk when he gets back? Truesdale? Walk me through that opposite tackle spot.
Yeah, I think you look, Connus Miller's a guy that has the ability. I think they're looking for consistency from him, a guy that played some last year as a true freshman. And again, this offseason conditioning, so vitally important for a guy from year one to year two. This spring will really tell the tale for him. Truesdale, I think, is a guy they really like, is the solid option. Connus Miller could be the explosive option there. And you know what? The good thing about this team is that you have an option to slide Nick Cohen there if things go bad, and have a Nick Cohen defensive tackle at, you know, still 285, 290 pounds, as strong as a bull. And then you have plenty of depth outside with Marlon Davidson, Big Cat Bryant, Richard Juvenor, T.D. Moultrie. You have that option available too, but I think probably Connus Miller, probably with the Connus Newkirk out this spring with a foot injury, I think Connus probably would be the odds-on favorite in my book.
Big Cat, obviously, you know, a lot of folks, and I would guess he'd be one of them, were anticipating he would slide into a starter's role this year. Well, Jason, ain't no starter's role available. Marlon and Nick both came back. So what is ahead for Big Cat Bryant? Because when he's on the field, he looks like one of those runaround Tasmanian devil guys that always winds up near the football.
It's really interesting with this group because, you know, I kind of foresaw, you know, if everybody came back, a movement of either Marlon Davidson or Nick Coe to tackle. So you could slide a Big Cat Bryant in as a full-time starter, or T.D. Moultrie, and then Richard Juvenor as a pass rusher, do some of those things. But you're right. Right now, spot's not available. And so I think you look at him as I think on third down, third and probably five or longer, you will see Nick Coe slide inside the tackle, and they'll use that package, and then you'll see Big Cat on the field a little bit more. But he's a guy right now that just has to, when he gets his shot, you know, take advantage of it and make plays and try to force somebody. You know, hey, if you're good enough, you'll force your way in and you'll make somebody else make a move if you show that you can make those plays consistently.
Absolutely. That's the story of Daniel Thomas since really his true freshman year. I'm going to force my way onto the field by making plays. Hey, Jason, always appreciate the insight, man. It's always spot on stuff. Thank you.
Thanks, Chuck. Appreciate it.
All right, Jason Caldwell again from inside the Auburn Tigers. That's Daniel Thomas. That if you go back to his signing day, which would have been February 16. I've talked about this kid before from Montgomery, Auburn fan. That's all he wanted. Didn't want to go anywhere else. Didn't have a lot of scholarship offers, none of them at the Auburn level. He's the last kid to get a scholarship, probably shouldn't have been on scholarship at a place like Auburn. Not only forced his way onto the field, but as a starter and an impact player. So sometimes you do get that outcome to the story of the kid who probably shouldn't be there.
If pointed at the sun, a mirror's reflection is too brilliant to look at directly. If pointed at darkness, the same mirror reflects only darkness. The power is in where the mirror is positioned. In the same way, God's Word calls us image bearers of God. When our hearts are pointed at Him, we can reflect God's glory and brilliance. God's Word says that mankind is created in God's image. This means that every person of every race has the potential to reflect the character and nature of God. But with each selfish action or acts of violence towards one another, we dishonor the image of God in that person and in ourselves. What if we viewed each person who crossed our path as an image bearer of God? Would that change how we interact? What if looking in the mirror, we saw ourselves as created in God's image? How would that change your own perception? We're all mirroring something or someone. Who are you reflecting? This is Bryant Wright, speaking right from my heart.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
800-603-6298. 800-603-6298. 800-603-6298. That's 800-603-6298.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
Ugh, what are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
What are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. It's been a long time since we've had an adventure in the forest.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
You're right. I should get out.
Yeah, the forest is not that far away.
Hey, Mom!
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
My name is Tom Thornton.
And my name is Cindy Thornton. We've been married 38 years. We're retired, and this is how we live united.
We play golf and we travel, but we also decided we were going to give to and volunteer with United Way at our community free health clinic.
I do the nursing at the clinic.
I work the front office, checking in patients, greeting them, making them feel comfortable.
United Way is how we contribute, because we know our time and money are going to the right places. The places that need it most and implement it best.
Judging by the thank yous we get at the clinic, I'd say we're doing the right thing with our retirement, too.
We even get a few bless yous. It's incredible.
We're Tom and Cindy Thornton. We volunteer at our community free health clinic, so we don't just wear the shirt.
We live it.
Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Dickey Broadcasting is a proud supporter of the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. And through programs like Team and Training, the Society helps over 3,000 athletes a year accomplish their goal of training and completing an endurance event, including marathons, triathlons, and cycling events. The Team and Training program is open for everyone and has raised almost $1 billion to fund leukemia and lymphoma research since its inception. Visit teamandtraining.org/GA and hit the Tell Me More button. Help save lives 1 mile at a time.
It's always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the King of College Football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Spring practice almost everywhere. Georgia's starting today, I think. Auburn has just had one practice yesterday, I believe. LSU has hit the practice field, though, a few times. I want to head out to Baton Rouge, talk to a close personal friend of mine who has his own burgeoning radio network. It is After Further Review. It's every afternoon on ESPN Baton Rouge, ESPN New Orleans, and I believe they have expanded into Alexandria. I want to welcome him on right now, Matt Moscona. Matt, am I right, Alexandria?
In fact, you are, sir. How are you, Chuck?
Doing good, man. What happened to my guy, Manny Netherly? I asked you about him before the bowl game, and he actually plays that day, and now he is no longer in Baton Rouge. What happened?
Yeah, he played because, if you remember, they only had about like six scholarship defensive players. That was a bizarre scenario watching pregame warmups and that Fiesta Bowl, just how few guys they actually had available for that game. I think Manny just looked at the logjam, and when you look at Christian Fulton returning at corner, and Kerry Vincent's back, and Kelvin Joseph is back, and then Derek Stingley, mm-hmm. Five-star early enrollee, is already repping ahead of him. I think he just looked around at the numbers and realized he wasn't going to get on the field this year, so good time to bounce. He just never kind of found a position. Came as a receiver, got stuck in the wash there, moved over to corner a year ago, and that was at a time when LSU did not sign a corner in last year's class, and before they knew that Christian Fulton would be eligible and before they got Terrence Alexander as a grad transfer. So, they've kind of been able to massage the numbers a little bit. He's kind of the odd man out.
Well, apparently this past Saturday's close scrimmage was in North Korea, because I have been able to get exactly one detail out of it. Ed Orger, he ain't playing around, is it? I mean, there's no reports, there's no numbers, no nothing. All I heard was that Joe Burrow apparently fessed up. He's like, oh yeah, Stingley picked me off one time. Any other early impressions about Stingley other than he's repping ahead of the veteran?
They did actually release a video of Stingley's interception. It was down the left side on the deep ball. He kind of got underneath the receiver. They if you go look at the LSU Twitter, they put it in black and white and slow-mo, just kind of a tight shot on it. But it was a beautiful play, man. Stingley, you're right in that they're being super secretive. But the other side of that too, Chuck, is like, I mean, Les Miles, when he would do scrimmages, he would release stats, and it would always be, we ran it for 200, threw it for 200. I mean, it was like carbon copy stats. That was never genuine. Mm-hmm. So you can take of it what you want. But Stingley, Christian Fulton is still out with a foot injury, so he's not practicing this spring. And now you're down Manny Netherly. So he needs to rep at the ones, and he's been everything that they thought he would be. I'll be curious to see if game one, if he's starting opposite Christian Fulton or if he's in the rotation. It's a big ask, although they do have Georgia Southern in the first game before they go to Austin to play Texas. It's a big ask to ask a true freshman. Patrick Peterson, Chuck, Patrick Peterson didn't even start his freshman year until they got into late October.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just kind of the perspective there on what they'd be asking him to do if he was starting game one.
If we flip it around to offense, obviously Nick Brissett, he waited his turn and then made the most of it. But as far as, experience returning in the room, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is back. Chris Curry is a guy that is a little intriguing to me. He's not the tallest fellow in the world, but that's fine for a tailback. And I bet he goes, what, 220, 225 right now? Good, thick kid. Had a red shirt last year. Walk me through the running back's meeting room with full knowledge that John Emery ain't there yet.
That's, and not just John Emery, but Ty Davis as well. So they signed two of the top five or six running backs in the country, depending on what scouting service you subscribe to. But it's also the question of what do you realistically expect from a true freshman stepping on campus? Some guys do it. I mean, you know, Maurice Claret was pretty special as a true freshman. You've seen guys, you know Leonard Fournette.
Halfway through,
really,
yeah.
It was the Florida game in October, about halfway through his freshman year, where they finally said, you know what, just give that kid the ball 20 times and let's see what he does. And that was the Anthony Jennings year, and they were really struggling offensively. But so I think it'll be interesting to see what happens when Emery and Davis both show up. You're right that it's not just Curry, but they signed two running backs last year, and both of them took a red shirt. And it feels like this is their opportunity alongside Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And remember, Leonard's brother, Leonard Fournette, is still kind of hanging around as well. This feels like it's their opportunity to make an impression, because once those kids get here in the summer, it's kind of going to be rep heavy for them, I would assume, to get them in the rotation. But, you know, Curry's a guy that played in the first game of the season last year. Chuck, they thought he'd have a chance to come in and contribute right away. They called him Little Beast Mode. I mean, they thought he was like a mini Marshawn Lynch. And it just didn't develop. I think he just realized how tough the transition was going to be as a true freshman stepping on campus. So it kind of feels like, considering Emery and Davis are coming and you've still got Clyde, those guys got to make an impression this spring. If they don't, they're going to get caught deep on the depth chart. And it's hard to imagine Curry or Tay Provins, by the way, is the other guy I was talking about, if Curry or Provins can't make a push this spring.
Is there any surprise about the extension and raise and buyout, you know, adjustments, all of that stuff coming down for Ed Orgeron? And is it assumed that it is just a procedural matter tomorrow when the board meets?
Yeah, it'll be – they'll rubber stamp it. The bigger questions around here with the board of supervisor about the athletic director and the university president that everybody's kind of up in arms about after the whole basketball scandal and everything. That's been a windfall going back to 2015 with the Les Miles, Jimbo Fisher thing. It's just it's been a series of bad looks at LSU that we've talked about a bunch. But the thing with Orgeron's contract, and I mean, you know this as well as anybody, you just can't go recruit if you don't have 4 or 5 years on a contract. You just can't. I mean the schools that you're recruiting against are going to negative recruit if you don't have a deal that could stand the life of their time on campus as a player. So once you get to that threshold and you're under 4 years, you know, Les Miles used to have a clause in his contract where if he won 8 games, it automatically just roll over, add another year on to the contract. And it feels like that's what this is. The more interesting thing, Chuck, is the buyout. If you remember, When Ed was about halfway through his first year, they lost to Troy, they got blown out by Mississippi State, they had old Matt Canada fiasco, the talk about firing Ed got noisy, but his buyout that year one was $12 million. And they just weren't going to do it after buying out Les. I mean, in part, the reason that Jimbo Fisher isn't the coach here is because of the significant buyout that Les had. So they built themselves some protections. They kind of learned that lesson. So Ed's buyout after year one is $10 million, and so it's hard to imagine that they'd fire him after this coming season, 1 year removed from winning a Fiesta Bowl. But every month subsequent, it reduces by $250,000 every month. So by the end of his the second year of the new deal, it'd be down to $4 million. So if you want to look at hypotheticals, like just hypothetically, if things went south this year, let's say they got lofty expectations, let's say they go 8-4, and then next year they come back and go the following year they go 7-5. If they wanted to make a move financially, they're in a better position to do that than they have been previously. I'm not predicting that would happen, but LSU clearly learned from its past mistakes with some of these contracts and built in some protections.
I want to go off the field before I let you run. And LSU, you know, I always give credit. If you do something you don't have to, then I give you credit for that. And LSU was a strong enough program that they don't have to visit other programs' stadiums. But they have signed home and homes with Texas, UCLA, Clemson, Oklahoma, and Arizona State going forward. That's a huge slate of home and homes. But what's missing is that week one neutral site game. Is there much of a conversation around Baton Rouge about wanting to be in that mix as a regular member of those games, like, for instance, Alabama is seemingly every year?
Chuck, LSU's been that for about 10 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe go back to 2000. The first one they played was in 2010. They played in 2010 they played North Carolina in Atlanta.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And then 11 they played Oregon. And that's been their – remember, they played BYU. The game was supposed to be in Houston, start of the 2017 season, got moved to New Orleans. But that's – LSU's done the neutral site thing to – they played TCU in Dallas. They've done the neutral site thing, but – Chuck, I'll credit LSU. They're listening to their fans. Fans have gotten ticked off because they've taken a marquee home game away, moved it to a neutral site. And I get why LSU did it. You'll make an economic windfall on the home game, but when you return a trip to a true neutral site game, your stadium's empty and you're not getting the payout you would for a neutral site game. So financially, it's a hit to go travel. But I think LSU's listened to its fans. They've watched attendance dwindle, and they realized you got to bring in better opponents that people want to see and start playing these games on campus again. So that's why that's been the push to sign these home and homes with marquee opponents. It's something that's energized this fan base. They're going to get to go play Texas next year. They'll play in the Rose Bowl in a few years against UCLA. You mentioned Arizona State, Oklahoma, Clemson. It's exciting to look ahead to the next decade plus of the type of marquee matchups that all of college football is going to be treated to.
Yeah, and I agree with the approach there that strictly from the economic standpoint, I know this is something that you and I have discussed before, that neutral site, the week one game, for instance, when they played North Carolina, in addition to all the travel and all that, which is fun for a fan base, we get to go to the big city, we get to go somewhere we're not normally, but the actual game ticket, it's roughly double for the neutral site games versus on campus, whether it may be 75 or 100, it's going to be 175, 200, or even north of that, depending on where your seats are.
Right.
And so that really does impact, you know, the fans' wallet.
The fans, for sure, and the athletic department, though, as well. Because, Chuck, those neutral site games, like, for example, when LSU will go play in one, they might contractually net, let's say, $3.5 million.
Yeah.
But LSU had a home-and-home scheduled with TCU, and they decided to scrap the home-and-home and play one game at Jerry World because LSU's return trip to Amon Carter Stadium in front of 40,000 people was going to be a financial bath. That's why they started that push towards the neutral site games. But I think they're just being a little more selective in which home-and-homes they elect to sign up for, as opposed to just being all in on neutral site games.
Well, Matt, I always appreciate you opening the curtains, man, letting us see what's going on there. Appreciate the insight as always.
Always my pleasure, Chuck. Talk soon, man.
All right, Matt Moscona from After Further Review, ESPN Baton Rouge, New Orleans, and Alexandria. All right, we're going to take a break, come back, wrap up the show on a Tuesday next.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called The Tax Doctor. And The Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less. 800-262-4182. 800-262-4182. That's 800-262-4182.
That is a pretty good breakfast. You're not even eating.
Not ever.
Why not? What's up?
Kath and I knew that Jenny'd been partying a bit. Found out she tried heroin.
Most people don't know what to say about drugs, but we do. Visit us at drugfree.org. A message from the Partnership for Drug-Free Kids. where families find answers.
This is James Laura, managing partner of Alexander Shannara & Associates. As a fan of college football, you know the Southeast is filled with teams who excel at and are serious about their craft. The same can be said about our firm's legal team. With offices in five states, including Atlanta, Georgia, our local teams of all-star attorneys are here to serve you. Whether you've been involved in a motor vehicle accident or hurt by a defective product or drug, at Alexander Shannara & Associates, we prove it. Visit us online today at alexandershannaralaw.com.
I'm in almost every school bus and classroom.
I go to school with your children.
We say the Pledge of Allegiance together.
You see me around the neighborhood and you tell me that I'm a pretty good kid.
Well, I'm one out of every five children in America and I'm struggling with hunger.
This problem is closer than you think. My teacher tells me we can grow up to be whatever we want.
I want to grow up to be someone who doesn't go to bed hungry.
There's enough food in this country to feed everybody.
Please visit feedingamerica.org today and find your local food bank for ways to help.
Every dollar you donate helps provide 8 meals for kids like me, quietly struggling with hunger.
Together, we are Feeding America. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Okay, forest animals, today is a new day. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow.
Yes?
Have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. Okay, river.
Dude.
How's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man. Perfect for a little riverside shoeless relaxation.
Ah, good. Owl, you here?
Quash. Who's asking?
I am. Look, you know the drill. Sleep during the day, scare the kids at night.
Perfect. I love my job.
Oak tree?
Sup?
Still in the same place I left you last year. That's what I like. Consistency.
Well, it's not like I'm going anywhere for the next couple hundred years.
I know. I love it. Turtle. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. You'd think he would have learned by now to leave the night before our meetings. Okay. Squirrel. Has anybody seen Mr. Squirrel?
The forest has been preparing just for you. Visit a forest near you today. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Now back to the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Chuck Oliver Show continuing on a Tuesday. Appreciate all our guests coming in today. Matt Moscona just joining us from ESPN Baton Rouge New Orleans and Alexandria. The latest on LSU and the paces they're going through in spring practice and position changes and transfers and everything else. Also, Jason Caldwell wrapping up everything with Auburn through one practice. And then Drew DeArmond as well, as Alabama's been out on the practice field. And they're actually having the pro day today. So if you miss any of those interviews, if you weren't around for them, if you didn't hear them, you can get the SST app. Simple. Go to the App Store, Southern Sports Today app. Get the SST app. When you download it on your device, you're going to push one button. Instantly, you're going to hear me talking college football. It is the most recent show, instantly available. Push a button. There it is. Get it at the App Store.
The King's Closing Arguments, presented by the best closing attorneys in the business, Alexander Shannara and Associates.
There is one SEC player that we're making assumptions about, and I think that's the corner I'm in. There may not be a quarterback in the SEC or anywhere in America where you need as much context to get the full value of what he brings than Jarrett Guarantano. Jim Chaney is now on Rocky Top, and I think that that is a positive for Guarantano. But keep in mind that this is going to be his fourth season. He redshirted, and then he played about half the snaps, I'm going to say, in 17. Because remember, he didn't start the season, didn't begin the season as a starter. Then he got hurt and then had to come back late. So about half the season, and then he started. He was the guy all of last year, except, again, when he got injured and Keller Chris went in. So we have a decent body of work. But this is going to be his fourth year on campus, and so far we've only got a year and a half of him actually playing. Let me go back to it's his fourth year on campus. Jim Chaney, as excited as Vols fans justifiably should be about Jim Chaney being the new OC. That will be Jarrett Guarantano's fourth coordinator in four seasons in Knoxville. It is going to be somewhat a new offensive line. He hopes it would be less new if Trey Smith could get back in there, but obviously there's a much bigger picture with him. Keep in mind that when we saw Jarrett Guarantano, for instance, against Auburn, that was about as good as you saw any SEC outside of some of just the outlandish games that Tua would have where he would exit in the middle of the third quarter. If you look at a guy, starting quarterback in the SEC who went the whole way on a Saturday afternoon, the numbers he put up, the performance he had, the individual throws, if you watch them, my gosh, so accurate, and downfield on the sidelines with that extra defender, it was as well as an SEC quarterback played in any individual Saturday in the 2018 season, but he wasn't necessarily consistent. So that's the last thing that you're looking for from Jarrett Guarantano. You're looking for better protection up front. You're looking for a more consistent ground game. You're looking for, again, wide receivers that consistently high point the ball, because most of them good height in the Tennessee receiver core. There are all kinds of other things that you need to happen around Jarrett Guarantano, but it's a name that we have been hearing for so long that context gets lost. It's he was the big recruit. He's already been there for 4 years. He's started plenty of games. He's played enough. He needs to produce. I've always said there is no position, not just in football, but in sports, with as much context around it, as many other individuals who have to do their job so that the quarterback gets a chance to. Well, Jarrett Guarantano, I promise you, the number one thing you could do for that kid in the 2019 season is continue to keep that context in your mind, because Tennessee is getting better, but they're not to the point where we're measuring them necessarily against Georgia or even against Florida at this point. They're better, but it likely won't show up necessarily in the wins or losses, or certainly in Jarrett Guarantano's stats. That is my closing argument, brought to you by the law offices of Alexander, Shannara, and Associates. Wherever you're at in the south part of the country, you need some legal expertise. You need Alexander, Shannara, and Associates.
All right, two things today. We're going to do one from the SEC, one from the ACC. Let's start with the SEC earlier today. It is the photo that is taking the internet by storm. Have you seen who was at Alabama's Pro Day earlier today? It is one Bill Belichick. And did you see what Bill Belichick was wearing?
Was he wearing a hoodie?
No.
Did he have sleeves on it?
He did have sleeves on this, okay. As a matter of fact. He had crimson sleeves on it because it was a long sleeve Alabama Nike shirt that was given to him. And everybody, of course, you know, oh, look at this, the GOAT. That was one thing that Alabama immediately did, is a quick little video of him saying the GOAT supports all this. And let me tell you where I think this goes back to, because if we remember Super Bowl media night, that Monday night in Atlanta, I had a chance to ask Bill Belichick a couple of questions about Kirby Smart. And then, of course, Georgia a few days later posting those comments from Belichick. So you better believe that Nick Saban, or at least somebody within that building, if it wasn't necessarily him, saying, hey, you know what? If he's saying that about them, we got to get him to show his support behind us, too.
All right. I don't think it was anything nearly as detailed as what you just said. I think it was Nick Saban looking over at Bill going, hey, put this on for me, would you? Here's what I have seen. Whether it's me, whether it's a player, whether it's an outside whomever that is at practice, or in this case a pro day, I've told this story before. Here's how it happens. I showed up at practice, Florida State. Go back and look. It might have been 05 or 06 or 07. Whatever year Florida State opened with UAB, I was at an August practice that year, and I happened to have a UAB golf shirt that Neil Callaway had given me. And so I'm wearing this thing, and I'm standing outside Florida State's practice, and I had somebody walk up to me and go, who are you with? And I told them radio station, TV, Comcast in Atlanta, and oh, you're not with UAB? And I looked down. I forgot I even had the thing on, and I certainly didn't remember that they were opening against UAB. He gave me a shirt to wear. He gave me a Florida State golf shirt to put on while I was standing there. I've seen players, they show up for press conference day. They're wearing T-shirts or whatever else. They'll hand them an Alabama. They always keep a pile of whatever school you're at.
Oh,
there's
always a pile of
either the pullovers or shirts or whatever. I promise you, this was as simple as, hey, Bill, put this on. Sure, Nick.
And it worked out well because obviously you got great photos and you get good publicity for a program that doesn't necessarily need more publicity. All right, ACC this time. Miami has started their spring practices. We are attempting to get Manny Diaz on, and we are told that that process is underway. Yep. And we will have Manny Diaz on this program here very soon. He was asked about Tate Martell and what the situation is. Why haven't we found out anything from the NCAA? Chuck, I think his answer tells you they might have an idea of where it's going to go, and I don't necessarily know if it's going to be in their favor.
We're not keeping secrets. When we know, you'll know.
How important is that to you, that decision?
Well, ultimately we'll see, but right now the focus is on getting everyone in the locker room as good as they can be.
Now, ultimately, that could mean exactly what he's saying, is that right now he's going through practices and he has got his quarterbacks on the field that he has to work with. He'll have Peyton Matoka out of the Houston area coming his way in the fall. And then maybe he'll find out if Tate Martell is ready to go in the fall. But right now, when I hear that, that's a coach who, if nothing else, talking to his compliance people, talking with maybe some people in the NCAA, he's not feeling good about his opportunity to have Tate Martell ready to go for the 2019 season.
What I heard there was a coach talking the same way he does if the guy is injured. You'll hear coaches all the time give you a real close version to, I have to concern myself with somebody who's here, not somebody who's not. So whether it's a contract holdout in the NFL, whether it's an injury in college, whatever, somebody who is in the portal and has gone from practice for a personal reason, you always hear coaches talking about, I'm going to worry about who's here, not who's not. That usually is involving a guy who's not going to return that season, whether it is an indefinite suspension or an injury or whatever. That's what I was picking up listening to Manny Diaz, as he's talking about Tate Martell as if it is a season-ending injury.
And you took the words right out of my mouth. As the crux is, he's not there. Well, he's physically there, and he's going through practices right now, but it's also one of those, hey, is he going to be ready to go against Florida? Translation? Not likely.
All right, so for it, Manny Diaz and Tate Martell and David and Dan and everybody else working with the program today, appreciate you getting your 2 hours of college football talk right here. Give me a little bit of a break. Recharge those batteries. I'll be back tomorrow, promise, with 2 more hours of college football conversation right here on The Chuck Oliver Show.
Debt reduction depends on creditors' balances and payments, client testimonials, or dramatizations.
If you owe $10,000 in credit card debt and your minimum payments siphon away your paycheck each month, you can get debt-free in less time than you think.
I've paid $800 a month for the past 3 years and haven't changed the balance on my credit card.
Get Debt-Free Now has a program to reduce your debt, stop the harassing phone calls, avoid financial ruin, and settle for less than you owe.
I feel like a huge weight has been lifted off my shoulders.
You're pre-approved for our special hardship program if you owe $10,000 or more. Call Get Debt Free Now to resolve your debt once and for all.
My family no longer has 20 years of payments ahead of us at 20% interest.
There's no fees until you see results. Make one monthly program payment and free up your cash. Call 800-834-2933, 800-834-2933, 800-834-2933.
Attention timeshare owners. This is an urgent consumer alert from Resort Release, a national company specializing in helping consumers legally get out of their expensive timeshare contract. Resort Release is offering a Better Business Bureau accredited way to legally get rid of your timeshare guaranteed. With our guarantee and transfer service, you'll never pay another timeshare maintenance bill again, and your contract will be terminated. You can begin saving today, even if you've tried another company to get rid of your timeshare. Call and see if we can help. At Resort Release, we only accept payment after an agreement has been made to get you out of your timeshare. Make this completely free call and learn how this honest Midwest-based company can help anyone, anywhere, legally get out of their timeshare nightmare guaranteed. Call right now to qualify and receive a free consultation.
800-712-8005. 800-712-8005. 800-712-8005. That's 800-712-8005.